This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Lori Strickland, Frank listening, which is a shock.
She knows good radio. She's been around a lot of bad radio in her life.
Yes. You've got to try the energy drinks and Ionics from
Isagenics. Yeah.
It's clean and safe. It's called Ionics from Isagenics. Way too much sugar in Red Bull and Monster drink. So go to isagenics.com.
Look at her weaving in a live read. She got Frank to do an accidental live read there.
She says, I'm getting you some samples. I'd like to try them. Thank you, Lori.
We will trade a free live read for samples. My wife was in the Isagenics game for a while, loved it, and the products are really good.
She's in sales?
She was selling them for a little while.
Really?
A few years back, went to a couple of their conventions and seminars. It really is a great product. I know Lori has gotten into it as well. But Isagenics, if you're just trying to lose a little bit of weight, you do a shake instead of eating breakfast or lunch. They have really tasty shakes, and they have some of these energy drinks. I endorse the Lori endorsement.
Very good. I down a Cap'n and Coke or two before I play soccer.
I'm guessing that's not high-level soccer.
Yes. I'd be more interested in what is best to eat or drink in the day and a half between games to recover. Splashback Deuce.
I think these guys now are all so healthy and health conscious. Don't you think they're eating protein and vegetables? And
oh, you're right.
You're not going to see any of these guys eating a huge pizza at midnight. The one exception might have been Marshall Faulk, who would score four touchdowns. He'd come to Fox 2 on a Sunday night, and he'd walk in with a bag of McDonald's. And he'd sit down eating like a huge thing of fries and a cheeseburger. What are you doing? You eat that? He goes, I just scored four touchdowns. You did? Because I said, that looks like something I would eat. And he said, the difference is I just scored four touchdowns.
That's good. All right, let's welcome to the program the voice of the St. Louis Blues. And hopefully there will be a memorable signature moment for Chris Kerber tonight. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very good. Just a quick reaction from what you witnessed at the skate today. Any news, anything interesting jumping out at you?
No, it was a very quick skate. It was an optional, but a lot of guys came out. And, they literally might have been on the key guys for maybe 10 minutes time. And then and that was about it. So a quick skate, a good feel around the team right now. They seem pretty calm and as I think we would expect, and we'll just see what happens tonight.
Now, Curbs, will they stay downtown, and do you think this whole road home thing, we talk about it all the time, but do you think that's a topic for them?
No, I don't think it is. They've really throughout these playoffs, they've had day room options, they call it, day rooms where, instead of going home and potentially dealing with traffic coming back and other issues, you can just go rest up and take it easy. There's a meal prepared for them and stuff like that, and it's not unusual for teams in the NHL. I'm sure not unusual for teams in the NBA. I know college teams do it. Football teams, some NFL teams have done it where you just, you get rid of as many distractions as you possibly can. And that's really what this is. This isn't about trying to mimic the road as some people are making it out to be. It's just a matter of eliminating as much noise and distraction as you possibly can. I mean, like you go back a few weeks ago, And it was Tyler Bozak driving down to the arena and he got rear-ended, right? And ended up missing that game. You don't want things like that happening in the playoffs.
What's the most interesting thing out of Coach Berube today? I don't know if you were there for his podium stuff.
I was. There wasn't much interesting asked or answered in that situation there. I talked to him afterwards. He talked about, he doesn't look at, prior game sevens in terms of, like, if there's a Justin Williams in this series, it just seems to come up with big moments, a Claude Lemieux-type player. It's just more, he goes, look, in these situations, some players are going to play well, some are going to rise, some are not going to have their good game, and you just try to minimize and understand when that's happening and make the adjustments in the game. And, he has coached in a game seven. It was a 2-1 loss to the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden when he was head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. Rangers took a 2-0 lead in the second period. Flyers scored in the third but couldn't close the gap. So he does have some experience. And I think one thing that jumps off the page to me here, guys, is we go back to that first-round series against Chicago in 2016, and the Blues had one player with Game 7 experience, and it happened to be Troy Brouwer. who also just at the same time happened to have played in what I think it was like six or seven consecutive Game 7 series. And this year you look at it, and the Blues now have, they've got 17 players on their roster. Not all, of course, will play tonight, but 17 players on their roster that have played in Game 7s. And the Dallas Stars have got a total of 16. So a lot of experience in this game and in this situation for both of these clubs.
And I don't want to lead Curbs down any path because he's got his own Nostradamus cap on, but I believe Pat Maroon has the most Game 7s, correct, on the roster history, which surprises me a little bit.
Well, he has three, and so does Matt Zuccarello, or not Matt Zuccarello, Michael Delzato. So Delzato has a few as well. They've got Matt Zuccarello has three. They've got Tyler Seguin that has four. And, who is it? It was, forget off the top of my head. They've got one guy that's got, I think, five. Maybe Zuccarello with five. I can't remember. One of their guys has five. But there's plenty of Game 7 experience. And does it matter? Well, I just think it matters to handle elimination situations. But I agree with Carl Gunnarsson when he talked yesterday and met with the media guys. Like, I mean, they played a Game 7 and Game 6.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was lose or go home. So, you know, they've essentially already played in one of these this year.
What about some observations of Ben Bishop? I know you're not a doctor, and we probably won't get the straight scoop from Dallas, but what did you see?
No, and unfortunately, I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night either. Went home, drank a little whiskey, so I'm not sure that helped either.
Good for you.
You know what? Look, if he's going to be in, he's going to be plays. Absolutely, does he have to be sore 100%? There's no way you're taking that slap shot off the collarbone and not being sore, you know. But at the same time, he's going to be in there. He's moving around. He's just fine. He's been absolutely locked down and clutch in the two Game 7s he's played in with Tampa Bay. He shut out the opponent in both times, blocking a total of 53 shots over those two Game 7s. And there's enough drugs these days to numb just about anything, as you guys know, and to fix just about anything. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see if there is any effect of it. But I can tell you one thing without a shred of doubt. If I'm at that point, my first shot's going high.
And we've been talking about that, and Patrick Sharp said that with Frank earlier, that that's just the way it is. I wondered at the time when he went down, and I know it is a discretionary call by the referees, but because there were instances earlier in the series where he may have embellished a bit, if the referees didn't react right away because they thought, well, Bishop's just kind of doing his thing, and then later, look, whoa, he really is hurt. Do you think that may have played a factor in why they didn't stop things?
No. Truthfully, I don't think it did. I think they didn't stop things because that's the right rule, and I don't, you know, I'm kind of amazed with how many of the national people, you know, and even some of the former players have decided not to just open up a rule book and read it. Look, if the referee does not feel that it's an emergency and the other team has possession of the puck, they've got to let play continue. That is what the rule is. And I don't think it was, that situation. I think the referee must have seen it pretty clearly. He caught it off the shoulder, not right in the throat, and let it go. So there's actually an intriguing another rule aspect to this, guys. There's a follow-up rule that says that, you know, basically like any other player, right? You know, you can't take a bunch of extra, I'm going to summarize it, but you can't take a bunch of extra time to heal a goaltender and let play continue, you know. And if the goaltender is able to make it over to the bench, then you got to take him out. Now, if the trainer comes out onto the ice and the goalie doesn't get onto the bench, he can stay out there. There's a little gray area in there, but the amount of time that they allowed him to recover is one where you can say there's actually a rule that said they would have needed to have taken him out then. So, another fun aspect, go back and watch that sequence again, guys. Watch the sequence and then watch what happens after the goal goes in. Watch how many people actually skate away from Ben, including the referee who was right behind the net. He doesn't stop to look at Ben Bishop. He skates to the penalty box as if nothing was going on and Ben was going to get up. It was eventually a linesman that goes over to check on him. So go back and watch that sequence. It's really kind of fascinating.
And that's sort of my point is I don't think I don't want to be rude about it, but I don't know if they take him seriously when he goes down. I think that may have been a factor in – I'm not saying that it should have been waved off. I'm saying I just think as to how they looked at it, I think it may have had to do with some of the previous embellishments.
Well, look, and what led to the Sammy Blay goal about a minute later, Sammy Blay was going along the blue line, and he nearly decapitated Alexander Radulov. They avoided each other, and Radulov dove down, and Radulov was griping at the referee. Now, that one was less egregious of a flop as the other ones we've seen in this series. You know, a couple of acting moments from Ben and then some from Esa Lindell. But listen, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that that's not in their heads. Like, hey, these guys are going down easily. These guys are trying to draw some penalties. So you better make doggone sure that it is a penalty before you call it. And as we saw last night, we saw a headshot from I think it was Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins onto Anderson of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it was only a 2-minute minor. It's one that probably should have been a 5-minute major, but after the fiasco that the NHL went through in San Jose against Las Vegas in Game 7 of that series, I think they were scared to call that a major. So as these series goes on, as the playoffs have gotten tighter, as the scrutiny on the officiating, which has been extraordinarily inconsistent this season in the playoffs, goes on, I think you tend to see a lot more let go and let things get sorted out on the ice rather than sorted out by a whistle. And I'm 100% for that.
Anything jumping out at you about the lines the Blues will trot out there or what you saw this morning?
No, I think they're going to go with the same lineup. I think they're going to go with the same lines. Do they make an adjustment as the game goes on? Maybe. Does he shorten the bench? Maybe. But I think you really like the fact that he had that checking line with Sundqvist, Steen, and Barbashev together, and that allows him to really balance some of those lines out. You're going to know if the Blues are on their game, one of their first possessions, they're going to get the puck in, and they're going to about one or two touch it and get it in deep and then start getting in on the forecheck. And that's kind of going to be one of the signs of the type of game that the Blues are ready to play.
So any nerves for a broadcaster tonight? Any different? And I know you don't script your calls or anything like that, but how do you approach your Game 7 duties?
Well, honestly, you just make sure that you're prepared so you don't screw anything up. You don't script anything, but you want to make sure you don't screw anything up. And just keep it simple. Call what you see. Don't get over-emotional where, you know, your emotions are clouding what's really going on the ice. And, you know, guys, we can't control the outcome. You know, nobody can. It's kind of just as fans and as broadcasters, we just kind of wait and see what happens here. And it's been such a fun season from a Blues standpoint with some ups and downs and how they've come together and how they've built this that, you know, for the fans' sake, for the city's sake, for the organization's sake, and then most importantly for the guys on the ice and the coaching staff's sake, I hope that the season goes beyond today because it would be fun to see this ride continue. But there is another team on the other side of the fence trying to say the same exact thing. So we'll flip that coin and see how it ends up.
All right. The most important part of this interview is going to happen right now.
It is. I've got my bookie on line one. That'd be Charlie Marlowe.
And we don't want you to kind of half it and not take a definite stand here. We want a name, not a line. We want a name. Pick to click.
You're just trying to destroy a good record, isn't you? This is no longer about getting it right. This is about showing fallibility.
Curb thought he had a no-hitter through nine, and Frank's like, no, your no-hitter is now in the 10th inning.
Yeah, and by the way, you're going out to pitch it. You know what? I was thinking about this morning, knowing that Frank wasn't going to let me off the hook. I truly really do believe this, and whether it is at even strength and he only has the one goal, or whether it is the power play, tonight I'm going to go ahead and put my clicks on number 91. I think he's had a decent series, not a great series, but he's had an okay series. He's checked hard. He's been physical at times. He's played the game the right way. And you play the game the right way long enough, the goals are going to start to go in, especially if you've got his kind of skills. So he's going to be my go-to guy tonight.
And that Patrick Sharp said the same thing earlier, that 91. I think that's a great pick, yeah, especially career numbers with Bishop.
We'll give credit to Chris if it happens.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, thanks, fellas.
Chris, thanks so much. We hope to be talking to you for at least another month.
Yeah, that'd be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Let's just all enjoy the game. You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, when you think about the fact that this is only the second time in team history when they've been down in a series 3-2 that they forced a home game 7. So let's enjoy the moment because they don't happen very often and just see where the ride takes us.
Chris Kerber joining us. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
All right.
It is amazing, a 7th Game 7 at home in the history of the franchise. I mean, that's basically once every 7 years you get a home Game 7 based on that math. Isn't that crazy?
Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
It's their 7th Game 7 they've hosted. So in the 50-plus years, Basically, yeah. One every seven-ish years, you get a home game seven. So it doesn't happen often, even though we had one 3 years ago. Doesn't happen often. You had one in 2000. You went from 2000 to 2016 without hosting a game seven. Seventh time. A lot of sevens in there. That's why a lot of people are playing the Patty Maroon card.
Oh, yeah. Game seven, 7 o'clock, 7th of May, number seven.
Our buddy Tim Papp said it's also the 17th all-time game seven, so he's going Jaden Schwartz with the winning goal. You can go a lot of directions with it, and none of it really matters, but it is fun to talk about.
All right. Let's see. Brian, you want to tell us about a couple of business items here.
Frank, I want to let you know that if you are having any home loan issues, you want to refinance, or if you're looking for a brand new loan to buy a brand new house, you go to the Home Loan Expert team and Ryan Kelly, thehomeloanexpert.com, or give them a call today at 314-781-9700. I know today is the soccer shirt night at Busch Stadium. This weekend against the Pirates, they have some great giveaways for the Cardinals. Cardinals.com/promotions. You can purchase your tickets to the Yadier Molina Roberto Clemente dual bobblehead doll night that is taking place at Busch Stadium this weekend. Hey, Plowsy, when's TMA live?
Oh, man.
Coming up soon.
No, I don't
towards
know
the end of the month.
I don't know the exact date. Now, I know it's on a Wednesday.
Is it the 29th?
29th is a Wednesday.
29th is what it sounds like. That's at the Hot Shots in Fenton. That is down south, right off 141. All the fellowship, food and drink specials. Plowsy will be there, and he'll be thrilled. TMA Live, Hot Shots in Fenton, May 29th.
By the way, you can hear Chris Kerber tonight on Y98. The Cardinal game will be on KMOX Curbs on Y98.
Now, that's an interesting call. Usually, Fox Sports Midwest will acquiesce if the Blues game is more important. They'll put the Cardinal game on Fox Sports Midwest Plus.
My guess is it's because the rights are shifting after this year. So maybe they're, I have no idea, but maybe the relationship is slightly strained and they're like, you know what, let's not worry about it. I have no idea, but I'm guessing that played a factor. Because in the past, even, I think KMOX would go Blues first if it's a playoff game.
Yeah.
Versus Cardinal baseball.
Imagine if you, if like a month ago, your dad says, hey, I know you're a big soccer fan. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to the Cardinal game on this Tuesday night because it's going to, we'll get these great, cool soccer shirts. We watch a Cardinal game. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's game seven. What do you tell dad?
Yeah. Dad, you go. You get that soccer thing and give it to me tomorrow. But first, give me your credit card. And we need to check the market, too. Remember yesterday, pretty reasonably
right.
priced tickets yesterday for
really?
This game seven.
Like, how reasonable?
I think 125.
Isn't too bad, which given the circumstances.
Right, it's a lot of money, but for a playoff game seven, that seemed reasonable. We were going to check today to see if that price had gone up.
You thinking
a whole
lot. About buying Plowsy and his lovely girlfriend a couple of tickets, Martin? It'd be very
come on,
generous
Martin.
Of you.
We're thinking about it. Yeah.
Hey, Doug, you got any extra tickets? Yeah. What's your credit card number?
All right. Before we get out of here this hour, I want to tell you about Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 855-260-EYES. He's a longtime friend of the show. He practices complete eye care in the metro St. Louis area, from routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery. He really does an unbelievable job with that LASIK. Like, you can get your eyes fixed forever for 11 seconds. 855-260-EYES. Tell them that I sent you.
Frank did a great job there putting me on the spot to spend my money on Plowsy. It was well done, and it reminded me, it was one of those men's group against cancer dinner. Guy Phillips was the host, and Ozzie Smith is in the crowd. And I was like the reporter in the field running around. And Guy Phillips said, hey, Ozzie Smith is here, everybody. He said, hey, I'll donate $500 if the Wizard will do a flip. And this is like 4 or 5 years ago, and Ozzie's like, I don't do a flip. So Ozzie grabs the mic from me and goes, make it $5,000, guy, and I'll do it. And then, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, the Hall of Famer, thanks for being here tonight. Like, that was the end of that. That was the absolute end of that.
Well played. All right.
So I should have said, I'll get Plowsy those tickets. Frank, why don't you get Hoff and his wife those playoff tickets?
Chris Kerber is brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business. It's been serving St. Louis for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. With 50 locations to serve you in a hurry, Petromart offers a wide variety of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody and is always prepared, fresh, and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
We're going to load up on a little Hoosier talk. Chuck Marlowe, Kenny Wallace. Bluesers, come on, let's do this. Kenny Wallace, our Tuesday visit at 12:30, and Charlie Marlowe, hockey savant, in the house. The Coveted Hour is next.